to all that, all the activities that are going on and all the great things that are happening here at Calvary. And just want to encourage you guys all to get involved in some ministry, right? If you're not involved in some ministry other than coming together to worship the Lord here corporately, it's a good idea to get involved. And one, I want to go ahead and make a plug for the missions ministry. And Paul back there in the corner, right? I know I'd already mentioned it there, but I know that a lot of great things are happening every time that every trip that they go down and they get to visit with Steve and Carol and all the kids there at the orphanage. So I know that when I've went, it's been a really wonderful time. I just want to encourage you guys to get involved in that if you have that opportunity. So tonight we're going to be in Acts chapter 15, so I will give you guys just a moment to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15, and we're going to be talking about disagreements. So before we talk, we're definitely going to pray, right? But I know that all of us at one point in time or another have had a disagreement, right? I mean, if we're alive, we've had a disagreement with someone. So in some way, I do believe that this message will speak to each one of us tonight. So while you guys are turning, let's go ahead and lift up this time to the Lord. Father God, we're just really grateful to you for the opportunity that we have to come together as your body, as Calvary Fort Worth, this local church, Lord, to just look at your word and to consider what you would say to each one of us, and just to understand that as you speak and as you minister to us, Lord, we are to be receptive. We are to receive and we are to respond to the word that you speak to each one of us, to our hearts by your Spirit. And I do pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be the one who speaks tonight, that you would move, and that you would speak, and that you would touch, and that you would heal, and that you would go forth and do whatever it is that you want to do in each life of every person that is here, every person that is hearing, whether in person or online or on the radio. We know that you have divine appointments every single time that we open your word and that we look at it, that you are speaking to us. It's because it's your word is alive and it is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can divide the bone and the marrow. So we ask that you do some dividing tonight, Lord. some spiritual dividing, cutting away the things that need to be cut away and putting in and restoring the things that need to be restored. And we know only you can do that. So we just ask that this time would be totally blessed and that you would take control. And also we want to pray for Pastor Thomas and for his healing, Lord. We know that he's dealing with the knee issue and that you can touch and you can heal. And so we just ask that you would do that, Lord, that you would, however you want to do it, through doctors or just touching supernaturally. And Lord, we do want to pray for all these kids. As I lay my hand on this piece of paper, Lord, that has the names of all these young people, we ask, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would bless them, that you would keep them, that you would make your face shine upon them, Lord, that a hedge of protection would be placed around each and every one of these young people as they face challenges here and now in this world that we never had to face. But we know that you are good and that you can help them. And so we lift them to you and just ask that you would do so and even more. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, all spiritual people, they disagree at one time or another. And sometimes disagreement can be about carnal things. I mean, we find those types of examples right here in the Bible. And who remembers 1 Corinthians? I mean, basically the whole, both books, 1 and 2 Corinthians, is talking about a carnal church, right? And in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, they were having disagreements about some of the very petty carnal things. Who baptized them? You know, well, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, right? And so there's spiritual people, but they're still having disagreements about things that are really not important, right? And then sometimes there's division because of a caring matter. because you're invested in something and maybe somebody else is not as invested in that particular issue as you are, right? Sometimes in spiritual matters, there is division because of differences in doctrine. My wife and I, when we first married, I think after about maybe a week or 2 weeks, we were both like, you know, hitting ourselves on the head because we were having these strong discussions about doctrine. And obviously, we worked it all out, right? Because she's still here. And we love one another. But it's just funny that even spiritual people can have disagreements, right? So none of us are immune, right, to having disagreements. And the title that I actually chose for this particular message is being used by God even in disagreements. Even when we're not exactly in agreement on every single point. You know, we still can be used by God. It's funny that I chose this particular title. Because our whole theme in the men's ministry this whole year is all about being used by God. And I don't know about you guys, but I know that that's something that's near and dear to my heart. I want to be used by God. And that's my desire for all the guys that come every time that we meet together. I want them to be used by God. I want them to get to the point where they can be used more and more by God. I want myself to get to that point where I can be used more and more by God. And I want that for all of you here. I want us all to be able to be used by God because, I mean, we're His kids. We might as well invest in something that is important. We might as well invest and work towards pleasing Him. And being utilized, being useful to Him so that His body can be built up, can be edified. So, sometimes there's division because of caring or spiritual matters. And sometimes we're not 100% unified or we don't have the exact same thoughts. But to be unified to another believer does not necessarily mean that you have to agree with everything that person says, or that person believes, or that person does, right? There can be differences. We can both be spiritual people and have differences. We can both love the Lord and have differences. We can have differences of opinion, especially on the things that are not doctrinally imperative, right? When it comes down to the things that are doctrinally imperative, obviously we need to have agreement upon those things. Because if not, then we're not really in the same camp, right? All right. So we can be unified with one another even though we have disagreements at some times. And now sometimes we are even called to divide, right? In Jude, in chapter 1, verse 3, Jude actually, he's talking about guys that are coming in and blatantly denying the pillars of the faith, right? The pillars of the gospel. And in that case, we definitely are to speak the truth in love to them, but we're not to hang out with those people, right? Because they can lead us astray. If they're not willing to listen to the truth in love and actually receive the Lord in the way that He has prescribed for them to receive Him, then we shouldn't be with them, right? At least not on the long term. Now, if someone disagrees, if there are disagreements between the people of God, that it can happen. I mean, there's examples all the way back in the Old Testament, even back to between Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen, back in Genesis chapter 13, right? If you guys remember what happened there, their herdsmen were disagreeing because they wanted the best place for their cattle to graze, right? For their sheep to graze, or the best watering hole, and Lot and Abram, they had to come together and say, okay, here's the deal. I mean, we're just getting too big. We can't be together like this. So you choose, Lot, whichever way you choose, and I'll go the other way, right? And that way we don't have to have this disagreements, and our people won't have disagreements, all right? So there's been disagreements. There's that history of disagreements, even among spiritual people, all the way back in the Old Testament. And we don't have to go very far in the New Testament to find disagreements. I mean, just think about the disciples. I mean, you could go Matthew, Mark, Luke, you know. I mean, you could just look through it, and you can see that there were disagreements among the disciples, those that were closest to the Lord Jesus, right? So there were disputes in Acts, right, in among the early church, not only among the disciples, but in the early church in Acts chapter 6. There were disputes between the Hellenists and the Hebrews because of the widows, right, due to the portions that were being received, right? They felt like there was some kind of a inequity there, and so there were disputes there. And that had to be all worked out. So there's even disagreements about how to be saved. And right here in this very book, in this very chapter that we're going to be looking at, we find one of those disagreements. So let's go ahead and look at the first five verses here of Acts chapter 15. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses." So right here, we find a disagreement about how to be saved. And the truth is that even today, there's disputes among people that call themselves Christians about how one should be saved or can be saved, right? Even Pastor Bill and I were speaking just a few minutes ago in his office, and he, when I told him what I was going to be teaching on, he's like, "Wow, that's like that book is so awesome, because it can you imagine what would have happened if it would have went the other way? It's like there would have been no grace. We wouldn't exist, right? Because it would just be another works-based religion." So some people have a hard time with this free gift of grace, the way that the Lord has offered it to everyone freely. It's like through faith, by grace, through faith, you're saved. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast, right? So here we see that there was great rejoicing. Even before we get to this disagreement, to this dissension between these two different factions, right? We see that there was rejoicing among the Gentiles because they were being saved, right? And it talks about two different places, Phoenicia, which is a Gentile territory, and also Samaria, a couple of places where they stopped by, and it's half Jewish, half Gentile. And there was a lot of work that was being done, and people were getting saved, and people were receiving the grace. Now, Paul and Barnabas, our two main characters right here, they had just come off of their missionary journey, their first missionary journey, and they came back, right, to Antioch of Syria. And Antioch of Syria really basically is where they were shot off into that first missionary journey, and where they went around and they taught and they preached, and they say saw a mighty work of God just saving the Gentiles, right? So they left Galatia, right, where they were ministering, and is the area of modern-day Turkey, and that's where these men had come in, right? And they made their way back toward Jerusalem. Now, this church, right, in Galatia actually was basically one of the first real missionary churches that was planted. And it was back in Antioch of Syria, right? That's where the Holy Spirit separated Paul and Barnabas to go and do this work back in Acts chapter 13. So we see that the Holy Spirit is involved, and we see that the Lord is working and saving people and just doing a lot of mighty things. So what's the deal? I mean, why is it that these Pharisees here in verse 5 that they think that it's necessary for people to get circumcised and for them to keep the law in order for them to be saved? So I think the reason that the Jews had a hard time with the Gentiles being accepted into the body of Christ, into the church, and having the guarantee of heaven, even without having to keep the law or to be circumcised, is because God had given them his covenant in the Old Testament. And they had been following that covenant for so long, there was a lot of rigid rules, there was a lot of regulations, and it was their way that they knew and that they understand that they could be acquainted with God. And having to accept this grace and this relationship-based salvation was a little difficult for them, because that was so ingrained in their fabric, in the way that they had worshipped, to have to bring a sacrifice or do something in order to have that relational relationship with the Lord. It was kind of difficult for them, even though they did see Jesus and even though they did attest to believe in him, to understand that Jesus had taken the place of all of that tradition and that it was not necessary any longer. So this resistance came from these Pharisees who were believers, but they were just having a hard time dealing with it. Now, it's funny that Paul got into basically an argument with them, right, into a solid discussion with them, because he was one of them, right? Back when he was Saul of Tarsus and he was persecuting all the Christians and he was, you know, going down with letters, you know, from all the religious leaders. And he's like, man, we're going to stamp this thing out, you know, this thing that they call the way, right? Which was the early way that they termed Christianity. We're going to get rid of it, because these guys are, that's a heresy. You know, it's heretical. It's not right. So he, before he had his encounter with the Lord Jesus, he was basically in their same shoes. But he had this encounter, so he understood their thinking. He understood what they were going through. And I'm certain that in his heart, and also from many of the other writings that we see when he was writing, that he just wanted them to have that same experience that he had, right? He just wanted them to have their eyes opened and understand that the grace of the Lord is just something that is so amazing that there's nothing that you can do that can top it. And there's nothing that you can do that can add to it. Right? So he understood their thinking. And so Paul and Barnabas, obviously on the other side, they had a different take because of the relationship that they had with the Lord through their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They taught that it was faith alone, by grace alone, only in Christ, that you could be saved. And you can see that at the end of Acts 13, at the beginning of Acts 14. It's all through the book of Acts that is what they were teaching, and that is what they believed, and that is what they were proclaiming. And that was the message that actually brought so many of the Gentiles into saving faith. So that's what they were teaching. And they believed that you could be forgiven from your sins, that they could be forgiven from their sins without keeping the law of Moses, without having to be circumcised, without having to go through those rituals. And that's what they taught. So the Pharisees, they sincerely believed that you had to keep the law of Moses to be saved. Sincerity is not enough. I can sincerely believe many, many things, but if it's not based on the truth, it will do nothing for me. There are many people in our world today that believe many, many things that are false, and they're lost, and they need to know the truth. They need to hear the truth. They need to have the opportunity to have their lives transformed. Right? And I thank the Lord that, you know, a lot of us have opportunities every single day to speak up, right? To testify, to talk. And we need to take advantage of those, right? So, because there are a lot of people, just like these guys here, that maybe they're religious and they have a form of godliness, but it lacks the power to save them. Because it's not based on trusting in the Lord and on what He did for them, but rather on something that they think they can do to be right with the Lord. And we know there's nothing that we can do apart from trusting in what He did and receiving Him to be right with the Lord. So, they sincerely believe, but their sincerity is not enough, right? So they brought this message to Antioch that if you want to be saved, right? If you want to be a saved person, you first have to be basically a Jewish person. You need to get circumcised. You need to follow the law, right? So if you want to have faith in God and be okay with God, well, this is the ritual. This is what you got to do. That's what they were presenting, and that's what they were proclaiming. So they brought this message. And this thinking had spread to many of the places that Paul has started churches, including Galatia. I mean, if you think about the book of Galatians, it's just dealing with grace, and it's just from front to back. It's talking about, hey, you guys, straighten up, you know. You think that you started in grace, and now you're going to finish it in works? It's like, wake up. That's not going to work, right? So, and that's where this contention came in. And that's where we're at right here. That's so it's like, okay, we can't have you guys coming in and proclaiming these things. We need to actually get back with the brothers back in Jerusalem and find out exactly what it is that we're teaching, what it is that we're believing, what it is that we're proclaiming. Because we know we're right, but we need to confirm it, because you guys need to hear it not only from us, but from others, right? So that's where we're at, right? And if we look at verses 6 through 11, we can see that the word says, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God knows the heart. And God who knows the heart acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as He did to us. And made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. So God had revealed to Peter that the Gentiles should hear the gospel. That was back in Acts chapter 10, right? And Paul, even he had rebuked Peter previously for being two-faced, right? Whenever the Jews came up, and it was in Galatians chapter 2, he was said, you know, you're being a hypocrite. Because it's like before the Jews came up, you're eating, you're hanging out with the Gentiles. And then when the Jews come up, it's like, oh, you take this step back. It's like, oh, I got to take it, because you didn't want to look bad in front of them. And so there was another disagreement. But it had to do with a spiritual item. Right? So Peter here, thinking about what God had revealed to him, thinking about all of those times when the Gentiles actually that he had preached to actually received from the Lord, he says, you know, we cannot force the Gentiles to keep the law, right? And that by trying to force the Gentiles to keep the law, we're putting a yoke on them that we couldn't hang with, that we couldn't handle, that our ancestors couldn't handle. And that not even you guys, you Pharisees that want us to put that yoke on, you can't even handle it. And that's not what the Lord had in mind. The Lord always had in mind a light yoke. Matthew 23, he's like, hey, my yoke is light. Put it on. It's not heavy. It's not burdensome. You just come with me. I'm going to do all the work. You just come on over. I've got you. And so we see this beginning in the Jerusalem Council, right? And we see that they are beginning to form and to defend the grace and that light yoke that Jesus promised. And we see that Peter is chimed up, right? And he's talking about it. And now we see in verse 12, and then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them all among the Gentiles. So Paul and Barnabas, they're giving this account of this, of the missionary journey, this first missionary journey, and all the amazing things that had happened and how the Lord was just working and saving and the miracles that had happened, the healings that had happened. There's just so many great things that the Lord was doing to testify the fact that through His Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus was the way. They testified. And then, in verse 13, after they had become silent, James answered. That's James, the half-brother of Jesus, right? He says, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. So James, he stands up, he's beginning to defend the grace, the salvation by grace, and he's using Old Testament prophecy to do so. It's right, Amos chapter 9, verses 11 through 12, right? It says it right there in the title in your Bible. And so James' response is rooted in Scripture. And he says in verse 13, he says, known to God from eternity are all His works. So God knows all His works. He knows what He's going to do from before time and eternity. You guys are all, every single one of you guys are here tonight because God ordained it. Before time and eternity. I'm standing up here right now being blessed because God ordained it before time and eternity. You know, we were saved by grace through our faith, not of works, so that no one can boast, right? But not only just to glory in that, but we were saved to walk in the good works that God prepared for us. I can't speak tonight. Prepared for us before we were even existed. Isn't that so cool? That we can just trust in Him and in what He has prepared for us to do. We just need to walk with Him. You know, sometimes He'll put us on His back like a backpack, right? Because we can't walk. Just so that He can accomplish the work that He started in us. And I testify of that in my own life. I see the way that the Lord, when I'm weak, He is strong. The Apostle Paul, he testified of that. He says, when I am weak, the Lord is strong. How awesome is it that we can trust in the Lord and that we can walk with Him and that He won't let us down, right? So God knows, known to God from eternity are all His works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses had throughout many generations those who preached him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So So we see that James is instructing, right? His decision is twofold, and the way he writes is very authoritative. He's writing with authority. The Lord has given him this authority. And so he's speaking first and foremost to the legalists, right? He's instructing them to be inclusive. Okay, you guys, this is what you think, you know? You think that it needs to happen like this, that they need to get circumcised and that they need to follow the law. But what you guys need to do is actually not add any man-made rules to the faith of these non-Jewish people, of these Gentiles. You don't need to add that stuff to them because the Lord's accepting them. If the Lord's accepting them, then why don't you accept them? Right? And to the converts, he's instructing them to be sensitive. To be sensitive to the background of their Jewish counterparts. He's dealing with three major sticking points, right? Don't be polluted by idols. Don't be sexually immoral, right? And stay away from blood. Because those are three things that were very central to the old covenant and to the tradition of the Jewish believers. So he's looking at it and he's given us instruction. He's given them instruction and also giving us instructions, right? And he's saying, hey, you guys, don't get hung up on stuff that is not important. But make sure that you are not a stumbling block. Don't let your liberties be a stumbling block for others. And don't get hung up on stuff that is not important. Very important words that we see here, right? So the burden was definitely meant to be light. Matthew 11:30, definitely the Lord, he says that. My burden is light, my yoke is light. You know, put it on. In verse 22, we see the decree, right? Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. And they wrote this letter to them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. Man, I love that letter. It's like short, sweet, to the point. Boom. It's like, here it is. They're laying it all out, right? And just being straight and saying, this is all you need to do, right? And it does cover those same things that James spoke about not laying upon them laws or burdens that they can't handle, and also about them being sensitive to the other believers, to believers that have a different upbringing than they did, right? So up to this point, it's been what I needed to set up my real teaching. So we're going to start right now. That was just the history, right? So now we're going to start. Okay. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now, Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. A great work is happening. They're together, they're unified, they're being used by the Lord, they're teaching, they're preaching, many, they're rejoicing, people are getting saved. The people that came were prophets, and they're speaking the word, they're speaking the truth, and then they're going back to Jerusalem, but then some of them are staying, and they're just going to keep working. So it's just like everything seems to be awesome, right? No division, no disagreements, and yet... Verse 36. Then, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. We'll call him John Mark, right? But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So, we have another conflict, right? And this conflict, actually, this disagreement went unresolved, right? It's not a biblical or a spiritual issue. It's not doctrinal. It's an issue of who would go on the next missionary journey. Paul wanted to go back, and he wanted to visit the churches and that they had already planted. So he wanted to take this same good news, maybe this same letter, right, to those other churches and just to rejoice with them and to encourage them. And yet, and that was his plan. And Barnabas agreed. He's like, "Hey, that's a great plan. Let's go do that." And then he's like, "Hey, let's take John Mark, my cousin, you know, remember him?" It's like, "Yeah, I remember him. He's the one that split in Pamphylia, you know." It's like, I don't want to take him. It's like, let's take somebody else, you know. It's like, well, they agreed that what they wanted to do was good. It was from the Lord. It was spirit-led. But the contention was so strong that it didn't happen. Not in the way that we think it probably should have, or not in the way that we would have expected it, right? Then the contention, verse 39, became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So the contention was super strong. So the title of the message, right, is being used by God even in disagreements. And I think we can see right here, just because of the fact that we know what happened, that God definitely used both of these men and both of the men that went with them and others as well. I was sharing also with Pastor Bill, and before we even started, I'm like, well, I actually was thinking about sharing chapter 16, just the first few verses of chapter 16, because it's basically just a list of attributes of Timothy, right? And, you know, if you think about being used by God, then that's a great list of attributes. So we know that Timothy was also a great man of God that was definitely used by God, that Paul raised up, just basically called him his own son, right? But we're going to save that for another time. So we know that they both were used by God. And so I think of this, and I believe that it is actually even God's providence that allowed them to decide that they were not going to be in agreement. So I thought of this really cheesy illustration. I'm going to share it with you guys. So there's a guy, and he is owner of a car lot. We'll call him Mario. And he has two sons, and they're both teenagers. One's 16 and one's 17. We'll go with that, right? I don't know their names, so I'll have to make some other names up next time. And, you know, they're brothers, and they've really enjoyed being together, and they've been in the thick and thin of stuff together, getting in trouble together and getting out of trouble together, and they've been doing that for years, right? And it's the summer of this year, of this particular year, when they're 16 and 17-year-old, and it comes time that their father, he decides that it's time for them to learn some life lessons, to take the summer and work. And him being the owner of a car lot, well, he's going to bestow upon each one of them a gift so that they can go out and use the summer to earn some money, to learn some life lessons, maybe make a little bit of money, and just grow up. And so he gives one, the older son, he gives him a Toyota Celica. And he says, here, this is the gift that I'm giving you, and I want you to take this gift and go out and use it this summer and use the gift and earn some money, learn some lessons, do well. And to his younger son, he says, here is a single cab, one-ton Chevy pickup. This is the gift that I'm giving to you. I want you to take this gift, and I want you to go out, and I want you to use it this summer. I want you to make some money. I want you to learn some life lessons. And we'll get back together at the end of the summer and see how this went. Obviously, they worked together before that, but just on that particular topic, okay? So the brothers, because they had always been together, right? The older brother who had received his gift first, he looks at it and he thinks, well, what can I do with this? You know what? I can do Uber. Uber, this is a great car for Uber driving, right? It's like I can do it on my own time and I can schedule it. I'll sign up. I've got the driver's license and the car, and Dad gave you the insurance and all that stuff. So I'm going to get into this Uber thing, right? And I'm going to be able to make some money because it's got good gas mileage and stuff like that. And so he goes and he talks to his little brother and he says, hey, let's do the Uber thing together. And his little brother is looking at this one-ton Chevy pickup, you know, big old V8 engine. And it's like it's a gas guzzler and there's only space for like maybe one person and it's got stick shift, you know. And it's like, well, you know, it's not really a great thing for Uber, but, you know, we've been doing this all this time together, so yeah, okay, let's do it, right? And so the summer goes by, and the older brother, he does great, you know, he makes a lot of money, and he does well, and the younger brother, he's struggling the whole summer long, and he doesn't make anything because it all goes in for fuel, and, you know, it's just like he doesn't get as many rides because people don't want to go, so it just doesn't make sense, right? I mean, what should he have done? The older brother, yeah, that's great. He could have done the Uber thing. You know, that's perfect because that was the gift, right? That was the gift. And he had everything he needed. He had the talents, you know. He could have used it and he could have done that. And that would have been great. But the younger brother, you know, the gift that he got wasn't great for the use that he used it for. You know, wouldn't it have been a lot better if they would have just went ahead and went their own ways, and he could have used that one-ton Chevy truck to, you know, go haul stumps or, you know, I don't know. But he probably could have made a lot more money and done a lot better if he would have used the gift that he was given by his father for something that was more adequate, right? And so I think about Paul and Barnabas, and I think about this dissension that arose, and this disagreement that arose between them. And I look at the providence of God, and I look because of what I know, and because I know what you know about what the scriptures say further on, that God used both those men. And when they were together for about 10 years before this thing happened. I mean, and Barnabas, his name means son of encouragement, right? And he was the one who brought Paul to the apostles. Nobody else wanted to touch him. It was like, that dude, who wants to be next to him, right? And he was the one, he brought him in. And I mean, they were close. And yet, at this point in time, we see that Barnabas continues to do what he has done. He takes John Mark, and he's being that encourager. Right, he's discipling that young man, and we know the results came out good because Paul, he even says later on, right? He says, "Hey, make sure that you bring John Mark, right? Because he's useful to me when he was in prison." He's writing his prison epistles. And I'm pretty sure he knew that at that point in time that he didn't have a whole lot of time left. But he wanted to see him. So we know that reconciliation between him and John Mark happened, right? And we know in part, at least in part, that had to be because Barnabas invested time in him, right? He used his gift that was bestowed upon him by the Lord, right, to invest time and effort in somebody that maybe somebody else didn't want to invest time and effort into, namely Paul, right, at that particular moment. My wife and I were talking, actually, when I was telling her what I was going to be teaching about, and we remembered some of the first days of of the ministry that we worked together when we were in Panama, and she always wanted to work with the people that were, you know, like downtrodden and like really needed a lot of help, right? And I commend her for that because that's not me. I'm like, I want to go with the guys that want to go. You know, it's like, we want to work with people that want to work, that are ready to go. I mean, I want to invest and I want to disciple people, but I want people that want to be with the Lord. And my wife was always that, I guess that's part of that motherly thing, you know. She's like, she wants to get those people that are just, you know, straying and doing crazy stuff and like bring them back in, you know. And I can see that exact same type of mentality in both Barnabas and Paul, right? So Paul, Barnabas, you know, He's that son of encouragement. He's doing that work. He's lifting up John Mark. And we don't have a lot of other information about him in the scriptures like we do about Paul. But we know that at least his investment in his cousin John Mark was successful. He became a man who God used. And that's pretty cool, right? So Paul, I mean, hey, we just got to read the rest of Acts. And we know God did all kinds of amazing things in Paul and through Paul. And he was a preacher. And I mean, you know, one time he was preaching so long, it was at night. And like when a boy fell out of the window and, you know, died. And then he went down and prayed for him. And he came back to life. And he's like, let's go back up. I got some more preaching to do, you know. So it's like we know that Paul, he was used by God in amazing ways. So, was this disagreement that resulted in division, was it unfruitful? No, definitely it was not. I mean, if we look at it on the surface, you know, we think we always need to be in agreement, or not in agreement to be in unity. But that's not necessarily the truth. Hey, God has gifted each one of us in different ways. The Spirit has given each one of us at least one gift that we can use. And we need to use it. And if you find yourself in a ministry where you're totally struggling to be useful, you know, maybe it's time that it's like, hey, it's not working out. It's like, I don't think I need to work with this person anymore. I need to go over here. There's so many different ways that we can serve in the body of Christ, even right here in our own church. I mean, there's so many announcements that came on about how to get involved. It's like, boom, this and this and this and this, right? There's a lot of great things, a lot of great ways for us to get plugged in, where we can be used, where we can allow God to use us to stir up those gifts, right, that He's put inside of us so we can be used by Him. And as I said at the beginning, that's all I want for me, and that's what I want for you. I want God to use us. And if that's your heart, if that's what you want, all you got to do is take that first step. Right? You take that first step and you go for it. And if that's not where God wants you, it's no sweat. He'll show you. Right? He'll point you in another direction. I've heard it said many times that the ship has to be moving that's a cow's thing, right? I don't know, what is that thing, right? The rudder, right? For the rudder to make it move, right? I grew up on a farm, not a sailor, right? So what can I say?
But it's a good illustration. It works with a bike too, right? You can move the front wheel of a bike all you want, right? And if you're not rolling, where are you going to go? Nowhere, right? You got to be rolling. Well, I guess I've said about enough. May the Lord bless you guys. Get in the fight, guys. I mean, jump in. The Lord's got great things for you, but you're never going to know unless you jump in and test the water, right? Maybe it's a struggle just to take that first leap of faith, to do something that's uncomfortable, to step out of your comfort zone. But I guarantee you it's worth it. The Lord will do something through you and in you. He will produce in you things that you never even knew were possible. Because He loves you, and that's His business, guys. He's in the restoration. He's into restoring. He's into fixing up stuff that, you know, people would have called junk. And making it all shiny and new and good. And He did it with me, and He did it with you. And He wants to do it with people that we can minister to, that we can touch. So let's get out there and do a little touching, you know. A little bit of elbow rubbing, you know. Let the Lord do His thing. Get filled up with the Spirit so you spill it out. And it's spilling on other people. Sound like a plan? All right, let's do it. Father God, thank You for Your goodness, for Your love, for You allowing us to be here tonight and consider Your word and what You want to do in us and through us. We are all individuals. We're all different. We all have different gifts. And You have given us those gifts so that we can use them. So I pray, Lord, that You would just reveal Yourself to us, reveal Your desire, what You want us to do, and align us with You. You know, shake us up. Change our desires. Make them Yours. So that we can be useful to You. May we be men and women who are used by You to the max. And may we impact this world that so desperately needs it, one person at a time. Do Your work, Lord. Stir up Your Spirit in us, and let's turn this place upside down. We ask for Your help and Your grace in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.